Welcome to Halacha in a Year, where we can get to learn all the most relevant halacha through the prism of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Tramp. This shiur is kindly sponsored by the Moshe Group and CA in Zuchus of Rivka Bela Bas Nechama Shifra and in honor of Rabbi Tramp.
Today we learn the halachas of Aninus. This is Simon Kuf, Tzadi Vav 196 in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. This is going to be broken down into eight basic concepts, and this is about the notion of Aninus. So let's start at the beginning. What is the Onen? Who is an Onen? So an Onen is a person who has just heard about the loss of a relative for whom they are obligated to mourn, and a burial has not yet occurred. So in that limbo state between death and burial, that is called Aninus. What is the tone of this period? So it is a time where those who are Onenim, those who are experiencing Aninus, are to avoid levity and have to show respect for the deceased. This is expressed in a number of ways. Can an Onen wear shoes? Yes, an Onen may wear shoes until after the burial, which is when the Avelus is transitioned into. What are some of the restrictions of Aninus? So the restrictions during this period are marital relations, bathing, laundering, anointing, that means putting on perfume or cologne, rejoicing, greeting, taking haircuts or shaving, it's too late for that at that point in time, Torah study, working, one's not allowed to go to the office, or causing others to work for them as well. If there's a great financial loss, the Pesach should be asked about this. Is an Onen expected to sit low, like on low chairs, like Avelim, after the funeral? The answer is, the Kitzur actually says yes. However, many Pesachim do not agree with the Kitzur on this particular point, and the common practice seems to be that they would sit regularly until after the funeral. When does Aninus end? So it ends as soon as the burial's finished. They cover up and they do the Shura, the two rows at the end of the burial. What is the reason for Aninus? So the two reasons are given in the Talmud Yerushalmi in Brachos, which number one is that one is busy for the funeral preparations, and number two, it's a lack of honor for the deceased. What should I do about my work? So one is not allowed to work during Avelos or Aninus, so it's best to call one's office and let them know that one will be out. Most employers are understanding and have bereavement time. What happens if I'm the business owner? So a business owner may not run his or her business during Avelos or Aninus, and therefore if one has not already done this beforehand, it's best to sell one's business to a partner or a manager who will run the business. And that means to say not receiving profit during this week as well. Partner or manager, you should give a bonus during the week or as a gift for their services as well. If this was not done before the funeral, such an arrangement can no longer be made during Avelos. So it's a good idea during that same time of Aninus to take care of that if one is a business owner. We move into the second concept, and that is dietary restrictions. Where may an Onen eat if the deceased is in the house? So one may not eat in the same room. If that's not possible, one should eat in a neighbor's house. If that's also not possible, one is allowed to erect a partition of 10 tefachim, 36 inches high, or at the very least turn away from eating in front of the person who has passed away. Are there any other dietary restrictions for an Onen? The answer is yes, only a light, non-festive meal, and he may not eat meat or drink wine. That includes chicken as well. This is often common for persons traveling to Israel, and one of the meals on the plane is going to be a chicken meal or meat meal. You are not allowed to consume that. You have to have the vegetarian option instead. Let's move on to the next concept, and that is mitzvahs. Is the Onen obligated to perform mitzvahs? So it's interesting, this is the one time in life where mitzvahs are suspended. Positive mitzvahs are suspended. He is exempt from mitzvahs even if he is not directly involved in the burial arrangements. He may not perform mitzvahs even if he wishes to be stringent. Which mitzvahs are still binding to an onen? So all mitzvahs loisa, say prohibitive mitzvahs, remain binding. This includes rabbinic mitzvahs as well. So that as an example of this, he must wash his hands and netilas yadayim before eating or when waking up, even though there's no bracha said on them as well. So it's forbidden to operate or to eat without doing netilas yadayim. May an Onen participate in a Zimun or a Minyan? No. He may not be counted in three or for Berakas HaMazon or a Minyan for Tefillah during the state. What if the Onen ate before the burial and he's still feeling pretty full and then there was the burial? May you say Berakas HaMazon afterwards? The answer is yes. The effects of that bracha are still there. What happens if the person used the bathroom? They got to the cemetery, they used the bathroom, they did the burial, they came out and they still feel satiated from having gone to the restroom. They may say Asher Yatzar as long as they still feel they do not need it again. May I opt in to do mitzvahs? The answer is no. We paskin remember there's two reasons. One is because Kavod HaMes, one is because of the Tzorcha Kura. We paskin about that, like both of those reasons, and therefore one cannot simply opt in to do mitzvahs because one feels that one has more time. May one put on a talis katan for a man? Answer is yes, but without a bracha. May one give tzedakah? Yes, but only in honor of the deceased. May I say kriyas shma al hamita? The answer is yes, because that's seen as for protection. May I say tefillas haderech? The answer is yes, that's also for protection, it may be said. May I say tehillim? So in the presence of the deceased or on the plane with them, it is, and in honor of them, it is allowed, but otherwise not. Okay, let's move to the next concept. That's a distant onan and the Chevrah Kaddisha involvement. If someone is in a different city, are there an onan? So it depends. If there are other relatives in the city with the deceased and they're doing all the arrangements, then they're not considered an onan. If there's no other avelim, or those avelim, or those relatives are there, but they're not doing the arrangements, you're making all the calls, you're doing all the arrangements, then you're an onan. But if you're completely secluded from this, then you are not an onan. What if the Chevrah Kaddisha has taken over the arrangements? So the Bekits or Paskins based on the Shulchan Aruch, that once one gives over the niftar to the Chevrah Kaddisha, they're doing all the arrangements of burial, aninus is no longer in play. And therefore one would be allowed to do certain things, one would daven and say Kriya Shema. Is this the practice today? So not really. People still observe aninus until after the burial, and that's because the family is still involved in the arrangements, they're making espedim, they're rata, and they're calling people, and therefore aninus still continues. What if I'm flying with the deceased to Israel to bury them? What happens about the aninus? So, generally speaking, one can't do so much on the plane, but one can, because oftentimes that's the time that a person will plan the speech, and these days with Wi-Fi on the airplanes, people are able to WhatsApp people, then there's still planning which is going on and responding to people about the kvura, and therefore it is certainly still a state of aninus. Let's talk about after the funeral. That's the next concept, concept number 5. What if a burial happened in the morning? Can Kriyas Shema be said after the burial? So yes, if it's still within Zman. If it's in the first 3 relative hours of the day, they can say Kriyas Shema without brachas. If it's after 4, up to 4 relative hours in the day, because they Kriyas Shema without the brachas if it's after the 3 hours. What about the Amidah? So one can say it until midday. What about Musaf? The Musaf can be said all day, and therefore can be caught up in such a way. What about the Birkas HaShachar? So let's say the burial is in the early afternoon. Can one say Birkas HaShachar? So the kids are paskins only 3 of the brachas: Shelo Asani Goy, Shelo Asani Oved, Shelo Asani Isha, or Shelo Asani Kirtzano. It can be said the other ones were waived because of the time that they were obligated, which is the morning, one woke up, or one was in a state where one is not obligated to say them. What if burial ends before a third of the day, but his house is far away? So to get back home, then I would miss Kriyas Shema. So in that case, you can stop off and find a clean place near the cemetery and say the ones Kriyas Shema. What happens at the earliest time one can daven is running against time for the burial. So it's going into the time when if I carry on the burial, I won't be able to say Kriyas Shema. So in most cases, a person just wouldn't say Kriyas Shema. But if a person is sensitive to this, they can technically say Kriyas Shema when the earth is filling up the grave, even though the Averus hasn't technically started yet as well. Very interesting Kiddush of the Kitzer. Must an onen make up missed prayers? That they missed? The answer is no. Missed tulos because Adinos do not require repetition or making up. We move to our 6th concept, aninus and Shabbos and Yom Tov. What is the law about aninus and Shabbos? So let's say a person and then finds out that a relative of theirs dies on Shabbos. So burial is prohibited on Shabbos, so therefore there's no aninus. And therefore that in aninus is eclipsed by Shabbos. But that's only the public aspects of aninus. So eating meat and wine and Torah study and so on. But the private aspects, which include marital relations and Torah study, are in fact eclipsed because the absence of doing them is not going to be a public expression of aninus. Let's say that person's in shul, they find out, may they leave the davening. The answer is he should not be a chazan if there's another person available. If there's no one else available, he can still do it, because otherwise it would be aninus befarhesia, express aninus. Can a person say it Kaddish in shul before the burial? The answer is, if it's a deceased parent, he may say Kaddish if there are no other mourners present. However, today that's not the halacha, because today we no longer have the issue where only one person says Kaddish at a time. So therefore, an onen may certainly say Kaddish beforehand on Shabbos. We pass that on Shabbos, an onen may say Kaddish beforehand. What does the onen do on Motzei Shabbos? So if it's close to dark and hasn't yet started Motzei Shabbos, he can say Shema without the brachos, but he does not say Maariv. What about Abdallah? So he's not allowed to say Abdallah, but he may eat. And then after the burial, he says Abdallah the next day over wine, without candles or besamim, without spices. What until when may he say Abdallah? So let's say they're flying to Israel, it's going to take a while for the burial. Until when may they say Abdallah? until Tuesday. That's considered the extension of Shabbos. Does he say Atachanantano in the morning? So let's say the burial's on Sunday morning, and he's going to say, and there's time to say Shemona Esrei before Chatzos the next day. Does he add in the paragraph of Atachanantano? The answer is no. What if arrangements must be made before Shabbos ends? So as soon as he starts walking to the boundary of Shabbos or starts gathering people to figure out a Tara, he becomes an Onen at the end of Shabbos. If a death occurs on Erev Shabbos before Mincha, may he daven Mincha before Shabbos? The answer is yes. Does Aninus apply on Yom Tov? The answer is, in the older days, it used to be that burials were arranged to be done even on Yom Tov, certainly on the second day of Yom Tov. However, Rav Moshe Feinstein paskins that this is not the case. We should not be doing this because people are going to transgress the things which are not allowed to be transgressed. One will have relatives who are not available driving to the cemetery. There's going to be calls made. These are not the Tzorichei Kvura, and therefore Rav Moshe Feinstein says we do not do this, and that's the practice today in most communities, not to bury on Yom Tov. In the days when there was the practice to bury on Yom Tov, there could be aninus on Yom Tov because then they had to be planning for the burial. Today, that's not the case because we don't bury on Yom Tov, so there's no aninus. It'll be like a Shabbos. Let's say there was a death on Yom Tov and the burial is going to be the next day. Until when are they allowed to say Havdalah after the funeral? So unlike Shabbos, which is up till Tuesday, Yom Tov is only the next day. If one misses the next day, one may no longer do Havdalah. Let's move into the next topic, which is special cases. What if a bris and a burial must happen on the same morning? So God forbid a person loses a parent, and the same day they need to make a bris for their son. So preferably shachris is davened early, then the burial, then the bris. If that's not possible, the bris is done first, but the father would not say the bracha of la'achnisai. Rather, it would be the son who would do that. A very unusual, very sad situation. What should an onen do if they are in aninus, if a person finds out about death on the night of the 14th of Nisan? So in that case, they should ask somebody else to do the bedikas chametz, but they should say kol chamira themselves. What about Sfiras Omer? Let's say an onen for a night of the Sfiras Omer. So he does not count at night, that's a mitzvah, but after the burial, he'll say the next day, yom yom, whatever the day is, or the Omer, not to miss out a night. What happens if the aninus lasts for 2 days? So there's going to be an aninus for a full day, and then it'll break the cycle. So Kisra Paskins, a person may say in the daytime, hayom, whatever it is, so that without a bracha, in order that they do not miss a day in the chain. Should someone be informed of death during davening? So let's say you hear that somebody's relative dies and they're in the middle of davening. May you tell them, which will now thereby prohibit them from finishing their davening? The answer is no. You should wait until they're finished as well, and then tell them as well. This is completely counter-cultural in our information-sharing era, where everybody is so eager to share terrible news and wants to be the ones to deliver it, and the one thinks it's absolutely necessary in an emergency to tell everybody everything. I think everybody should take a deep breath in and realize that there's halacha and there's the way things should be done, and spreading bad news is not a good thing. So it should not be that if somebody is in davening, that somebody else goes and tells them in the davening. That's completely inappropriate halachically. One should wait. We move to our last concept, and that is the legal and unusual constraints. So what if the body is in a captivity and the powers that be demand payment or ransom for the body? In that case, the family is not considered onanim or avelim. Why not? The answer is because they've not given up hope. They're still negotiating, and therefore they're not in the stage of dealing with the needs of the burial. What if a burial is delayed by civil law, so up to 48-hour waiting period? So this used to be the law in some places in Europe because they weren't sure about the time of death, and they were trying to avoid, the authorities were trying to avoid burying people alive because they didn't have such a sophisticated equipment to realize when a person really is dead. So they would wait a 24 or 48-hour period. If that's the case, then the Kisra says that the aninus still does occupy that period of 48 hours, and they should be, as they're involved in burying, getting ready for the burial. The second day of Yom Tov, if that's within that 48-day period, one does not need to apply or follow the laws of aninus in that case. What happens if the body is cleaned and so the tara is done and put into the coffin, let's say within the first 12 hours, and they still not need to wait out the rest of the time? So in that case, the aninus would actually end when the body is placed in the coffin, in the aron, and hilchos avelus begins. So meaning it would switch from aninus to avelus, but that day of avelus does not count towards the shiva. The shiva only really starts when the body is buried, but there'll be a switch from aninus to avelus before the burial because of this extended time of waiting. So a lot of fascinating halachas which most people don't know because, for better or for worse, people don't like to find out about these things, but it is important to know these things because there's a lot of posterity, a lot of respect that's necessary for the niftar. With this, we conclude. Have a wonderful and meaningful day.